This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Some books and writers are just inextricably tied to the places they were set and written. Truman Capote's Breakfast at Tiffany's is a quintessentially New York story, and Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil is a snapshot of Savannah, Georgia. The connection between geography, stories, and the people who write them inspired our next guest. Journalist Richard Kreitner's new book is part history and part travel guide. It's called Booked, A Traveler's Guide to Literary Locations Around the World. Richard, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much for having me.
So in the intro of the book, you write about your first pilgrimage to England regarding William Wordsworth. Tell us more.
Sure. Well, in college, I started reading Wordsworth, and he really sort of hit me where I live, talking about what goes into forming our character and our interests and really who we are as people. And I just became fascinated with the places that he was describing in his poetry, which was the Lake District where he grew up. Mm. Soaring mountains and, you know, meandering rivers and all these influences that sort of made who he was. And I sort of wanted them to make me who I was and just sort of steal a little of that magic, I guess. So I bought a ticket and went there pretty quickly. And it was an amazing experience, really formative for me. I read the poetry, you know, I went to little pubs and met the people. I met this person in Wordsworth's graveyard, actually, who I'm still in touch with, like 10 years later.
Wow.
And it was just a fascinating experience, and really sort of, it connected me to the work itself in sort of a deeper and richer way. And the work certainly made me connect to the Lake District in a deeper way.
What was that? What was that connection? Was it being able to actually just sit there and be surrounded by it? Was it, I now have an actual visual does it match the description of the author I love, and does it tell me about how he actually describes things? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's sort of a hard thing to even talk about because it's not a linear thing. It's sort of, I think I call it mysterious or even magical. It's complicated. It's dynamic. It both sort of, you know, put me in his footsteps, and I could sort of see why he wrote what he did, but I could also see how maybe I connected with it differently. And also, you know, it's two centuries later, so there's quite a bit that has changed.
Sure.
There's a highway going through the valley that he talked about being sort of untouched and everything.
Oh, interesting.
So what is similar? What has changed? You know, it was very, very sort of rich.
Listeners, do you want to get in on this conversation? Have you done this? Have you traveled to a place of your favorite author or writer or of your favorite book because you just wanted to see? The number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Come on and share your stories about traveling around the world is in your book. We're going to get to Spain. Don't worry, in Don Quixote.
Great.
I've done this. I have to say, this book spoke to me. I drove across South Dakota with a friend because I wanted to see Laura Ingalls Wilder's house.
Nice.
Because I just remember those books as a kid, and I was like, I want to see the plains. I want to see the prairie. And I did it once as an adult. I went to Savannah, Georgia, like a lot of people, after reading Midnight in the Garden, Good and Evil. And I had a really amazing experience. And then I will talk about the book. I just want to share it with you because I think you'll appreciate it. So I was down there, and it was really early on. And there was a little photo gallery, and I went in, and there were these beautiful photographs. And in the corner was the little picture that's on the cover of the book, Bird Girl. And I was chatting up the photographer, and I said, "Did you take that picture?" He goes, "Oh, yeah. Bird Girl bought this gallery."
Oh, wow.
And we got into this nice, long conversation, which he's passed away since. His name is Jack Lee. And we talked a lot about it. And at the time, the movie was coming out, and they had reproduced the image. And so they were having a fight about intellectual property. So I ended up doing the story for CBS Sunday Morning. But that was just because I had decided to go to Savannah for the weekend.
Right.
But it was really amazing to be there and think about that story and think about that place.
Yeah. Well, that statue actually used to be in Bonaventure Cemetery in the city. And they had to take it out because there were so many literary pilgrims going to check it out that it was sort of not safe. So now it's in a museum or something now. And I just love things like that that show the power of literature to shape the place as well as the way that the place shapes the literature.
And he gave me a friends and family discount on a photo. I have it in my house. Hey, listeners, have you had one of these trips? Is there an author, story, or novel that's inspired you to take a trip or adventure? Richard and I, we'd like to hear about it. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Okay, tell me about the process of researching this book.
Yeah, it was pretty extensive. You know, I went to local newspapers because they're often covering this stuff. There are different books that have, you know, been written about each particular place in certain ways. Otherwise, you know, coming up with the list of just sort of books that mean a lot to me or to, you know, friends who suggested it. Not only an important piece of literature, but one that is so based in a certain place, you know, needed to fit certain criteria. Like I wanted to do like Kafka's Prague when things started out, but that, you know, exists in sort of a dreamland. There's no places like this bridge or something. It just sort of, you know, is in his mind.
Well, you have it set up by geography, so I want to do a couple that are close by. Let's go for the classics. Ish and the Fish, Moby Dick.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a really interesting one. My wife, who's an English teacher, was reading Frederick Douglass for her graduate school class. It's also her birthday. I have to shout out to my wife.
Happy birthday.
And I was at the same time researching, for various reasons, Moby Dick and abolitionism in the 1840s. And we figured out that they were in the city at the same time, Melville and Douglass.
We're in New Bedford.
We're in New Bedford at the same time. Yeah, New Bedford. At the same time, they probably didn't interact with each other, but I just thought that was sort of a fascinating congruence. And New Bedford is sort of an amazing city. They've got great walking tours there. It was a major whaling port, of course, obviously. But that's what brought in such a diverse cast of characters to the town, and that's what made Frederick Douglass go there when he was looking for a refuge from slavery, you know. So they were there sort of for similar reasons in related ways, but didn't overlap.
So if I wanted to go to New Bedford, where would be and I love Moby Dick, where would I go? What should I go see?
Well, there's the Seaman's Bethel, which is a church there that actually existed at the time, but it didn't have this pulpit that Melville sort of invented for the book, which is the bow of a ship that the reverend, to make his sermon, would climb up this rope ladder to get to the top of. And in sort of another way of life imitating art, they've now put that pulpit into the church so that, you know, readers, I guess, won't be confused when they walk in and they don't see it. You know, I'm really interested in these sort of blurrings of the line between imagination and reality.
My guest is Richard Kreitner. The name of his book is Booked, A Traveler's Guide to Literary Locations Around the World. Oh, we've got a couple of calls. Let's check in with LaTanya. Hi, LaTanya.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Where'd you go?
So, Wayne Dyer, in reading his books and in listening to him, he talked a lot about Walden Pond. Walden Pond. He just kept talking about Walden Pond. So, I took a trip in January, it was 2015 actually, and I went to Concord, Massachusetts, and I walked Walden Pond. It's interesting, well, my family thought I was losing my mind because I'm not an outdoorsy person. Like, I'm not, like, the outdoors, nature, none of that, not my friend. But there was something very therapeutic about doing it. It was really a fabulous experience. I went all by myself. It was really a great experience. So to hear someone write a book about doing just that is just awesome to me.
It's pretty great. Thanks for sharing, LaTanya. Our number is 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Maybe you've made a trip based on something you read or a location you wanted to see that's in one of your favorite books or by one of your favorite authors. I'm going to stay in the area. You have a whole part of the book devoted to Newark.
Yeah, Philip Roth.
All right, tell me more.
Absolutely. Well, this is actually another one of my wife's fascinations. She's obsessed with Roth. And I actually went there to see his home. Most of the pictures in the book are taken from Getty and stuff, but the one of Roth's house is actually myself. My dad and I just drove up one day.
Excellent.
Newark is sort of a, you know, the famous setting of most of Roth's novels, from American Pastoral to The Plot Against America. And he sort of put Newark on the literary map in the same way that, you know, Harper Lee did with Monroeville and other people have with other places. And you can still see his high school that he talks about there, you know, that Portnoy went to and did whatever Portnoy did. The library that Roth went to all the time. And there's still lots of places. You know, Newark has changed considerably, but a lot of the stuff is still there.
Also, you mentioned Harper Lee, given how the sort of resurgence and interest of To Kill a Mockingbird because of the success of the Broadway show. Monroe, Alabama. What can I do there?
Well, you can right now you can go to the courthouse, which is where, of course, you know, the trial took place. And they've been putting on an annual version of not Aaron Sorkin's play, but an earlier version of the play every year. It's kind of this is sort of another theme in the book, contestation and conflict about literary legacies. So after Harper Lee died, you know, there was her famous lawyer who put out the book. People thought perhaps without Harper Lee's consent, it turned out it seems like it was with her consent. But now after she has died, they have these plans to sort of make some kind of resurgence in Monroeville of literary tourism. So her house was torn down some decades ago, the house that she grew up in, Scout's House, I guess, in the book. And now they want to build a replica of it and they want to make a new museum. And it's sort of a very controversial project in the area. One critic for The Guardian actually said that she feared that it would turn out to be, quote, a Disneyland for racists. You know, it's sort of a very
interesting.
There's the conflicts that go on with literary legacies are very interesting.
Interesting. Let's talk to Christine, who is calling us from Manhattan. Christine, where did you go?
Well, you know, I love the musical theater, and like a lot of people, I, of course, love My Fair Lady. And when I was in London, I was very young. It was my first trip there. And honestly, one of the first things I did was to go on, because back then we used paper maps, you know. I didn't look at it on my phone. I went to all the locations that were mentioned in My Fair Lady. Covent Garden, Soho Square, Tottenham Court Road, where Eliza Doolittle sold her flowers. And to this day, when I go to Covent Garden, I can only picture Alfred P. Doolittle singing With a Little Bit of Luck, or, you know, all those glorious songs. And then I went to 84 Charing Cross Road, because there's a play called 84 Charing Cross Road about booksellers, and there are so few bookstores left. I also went to Bangkok, and not because it was a pilgrimage, I was out there for business, but I went to the palace where The King and I is set, which is captivating and stunning and breathtaking, was probably even more so back then, but I couldn't figure out, and it was such a wonderful way to experience it. I don't know if anybody else was thinking when they were walking through that palace, how did Mrs. Anna function with those hoop skirts in that heat? They're like steam makers, you know? And then the other thing that I just thought of is that if you remember B. Arthur in Maud, are you old enough to remember
that?
Oh,
yeah.
So, you know, she lived in Tuckahoe, and I grew up in Tuckahoe, and I found a T-shirt, and I gave it to her. It said, London, Paris, Rome, Tuckahoe.
Oh, if only it said that on a caftan, then you really would have won.
Ah, yes. Absolutely.
Christine, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
My guest is Richard Kreitner. The name of his book is Booked, A Traveler's Guide to Literary Locations Around the World. We're going to go over to Spain and Don Quixote. Mm. Wow. If I decide to make this trip, what am I going to see?
You're going to see the windmills, you know, which is not known for certain. You know, a lot of this is sort of ambiguous. People don't know. They speculate. But, you know, the windmills that people say were Quixote's or Cervantes' inspiration for the windmills, and that. You're also going to see La Dulcinea, the town where his, you know, his wonderful queen is from. And there's a statue of the two of them, I think of him wooing her in some capacity in the town square. There's also, I think, an inn that is mentioned in the book that you can go and have lunch at.
Let's talk to Andre on line 5. Hi, Andre.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Where did you go?
Well, I've gone to a few places because I was very lucky to have a job that sent me on different conferences around the world. I went to St. Petersburg to Nabokov's birthplace. The house is now a literary museum. But if you remember, much of Speak Memory is about the loss of that place and Russia. I went to Switzerland, where Thomas Mann lived the last couple of years of his life. He had lived there before. And I went to Kirchberg, where he's buried with his entire family. It's a tiny little cemetery right outside of Zurich. And they are all listed on the big tombstone, except for his one son, Golo Mann, who had such a terrible relationship with his father that he made it clear that he did not want to be in the same tomb. Hmm. So, catty corner across the other corner of the cemetery. And I went to, where else did I go? Oh, in Key West, a little closer to home.
Of course. Hemingway.
To Hemingway's house. And while I'm not a tremendous Hemingway fan, my mother was, and the house kind of made me like him more, because you can feel the personality of a rather likable person, which he doesn't always come across as in the literature.
Andre, thank you so much for calling in. We've got really interesting people. Tay went on the Yeats Trail. We've got Concord, Mass for Little Women. Mark in the Bronx went looking for Hawthorne and Thoreau. It's kind of Amherst, Emily Dickinson's house. Jane in Queens called in about that. It's so interesting. Do you, this is so unfair, favorite place, place that stays with you that you've gone?
That I've gone, excuse me. Other than Grasmere, well, the place that I would really like to go
okay,
is Proust's house. or his aunt's house in Cambrai, or it's called Illier, but they changed the name of the village to Illier Cambrai in the 70s to sort of commemorate Proust's depiction of it in the novel. And I would just really like to go there and walk the paths that he describes, that with the hawthorn bushes and things like that.
I'm wondering if, not to end on a downer, but I'm wondering if you need to sort of temper your expectations when you go to these places, that it could be, you could be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to someone who decides to make a trek like this and a pilgrimage like this so that they actually really have a good time?
Yeah, I would say roll with it. You know, I think I read this in the introduction about going to Grasmere. There's highs and lows. You know, it's never going to be exactly as it was in the book. And that's not only okay, but that's as it should be, because this is the record of one person, perhaps one genius's, you know, depiction or sensations about a place. You have your own, and they're no less valid, and it's a different time. So you're going to see more, you're going to see less, you're going to see something different, but it's going to be what you see, and you're going to sort of bounce that off. You know, I always bring the book with me when I go somewhere, you know. That's what I did, you know, with Wordsworth. So you can, you know, it's a dynamic interplay. You're never going to sort of put yourself in the novel because, you know, we have to wake up. That's impossible.
The name of the book is Booked, A Traveler's Guide to Literary Locations Around the World. It's by Richard Kreitner. Hey, Richard, thanks for coming in and sharing these stories with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, thanks for calling in and sharing your stories as well. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Stick around. I'll meet you at the top of the hour.